The reading today is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning at verse 54 to the end of the chapter. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we come to the end of 1 Corinthians 15, a wonderful chapter which has soared to great heights. And typical of Paul, that he ends with application. He ends with commands. This is how you're to live out these truths. And that's how he finishes the chapter. Verse 58 is where we're going to focus. But you've got to see that verse 58 is based on all that's gone before. So it says in verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers. See, these commands that we're going to look at, and there are going to be three of them, are all based on what's gone on earlier in the chapter. And what have we seen earlier in the chapter? Well, we've seen, actually, Paul has been talking about the resurrection of Jesus. That's where it starts. The historical events. Jesus' life, death, burial, resurrection. That's right at the start, isn't it? Verse 3 onwards, you get that description. And then, as you go through the rest of the chapter, we've seen the implications of the resurrection. And what we need to see is that the rest of the chapter places us in the now and makes us long for the not yet. And that's really important for us as Christians, that we see we live in the now, but we look forward to the not yet. There are things we don't have yet. Now, that was very important for the Corinthians. Again, in order for us to understand this chapter, we've got to get into the heads of those who first received this letter, the Corinthians. And what does Paul say about them? Well, if you just cast your eyes back just a few pages to chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. This is Paul saying to them. He says, verse 8, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. He's saying to them, you think you've got everything. You think there is nothing more that you want as Christians. These are Christians living the triumphant Christian life. They've got everything. And 1 Corinthians 15 is saying, no, you live in the now, but there's plenty you don't have yet. And so as I just go through the headings of what we've thought about over the last few weeks, think to yourself, is this something that we've got now, or is this a not yet? So the first of our headings, after we'd thought about the facts of Jesus's resurrection, the first of our headings was forgiveness of sins. Well, is that a now or a not yet? That's a now, isn't it? So verse 17 of chapter 15 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. In other words, because Jesus has risen, your sins are forgiven, they're dealt with. So forgiveness of sins is a now. But then we thought about, well, because Jesus has risen, there will be more resurrections. Well, is that a now or a not yet? Obviously, that's a not yet. People will be raised in the future. And then we thought about Jesus' kingdom coming, verse 24 onwards. Well, is that now or not yet? Well, that's mostly a not yet. Jesus' kingdom will come, and we pray it will. And then we thought about suffering for the kingdom and the fact that that makes sense. Well, is that suffering now or not yet? It's now, isn't it? And then we thought about sinning and saying sinning must stop. Again, that's now. And then the last thing we thought about last week was resurrection bodies. Well, have we got our resurrection bodies now? No, of course not. That's not yet. And so you see, various things are now and various things are not yet. And that tension exists within the Christian. There are things that we've got now, but things we still long for. And that includes victory over death. Now, victory over death, is that a now or is that a not yet? Well, have a look. Verse 54, this was part of the reading that Pam read for us. Verse 54 says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" So is that now or is that not yet? Well, the swallowing up of death in victory is not yet, isn't it? Because it says at the beginning of verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable. So it's not yet, because we haven't got our resurrection bodies yet. When that happens, then death will be completely dealt with. But yet, verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we've kind of got the victory now. So we're in this tension, actually. Okay, victory over death, is that now or is that not yet? And the answer is yes. It's both. It's now and it's not yet. Jesus has given us the victory through his own death and resurrection. We have victory over death. But we know, don't we, that death is still painful. We know this last week with the death of Ken Goodall. We still mourn for the loss of Ken. Death still feels like it has a kind of power. And it sort of does. But we know that we've been given the victory over death. But we look forward to the not yet, to when death will be swallowed up in victory. And there will be no more death. And we'll have our resurrection bodies and life forever. And where Ken and Ken Knight and Beatrice Clayton and we with them and all who've trusted in Christ before them will have resurrection bodies and will live forever. And then death really will be swallowed up with victory. And so we look forward to that. We're in the now, but we're not in the not yet yet. Okay. So we need to know that this is where we live. The Corinthians needed to know that. They don't have everything yet, and neither do we. Now, in the light of that, in the light of the resurrection of Jesus, here are the three commands. And the first is, don't shift from gospel truth. Have a look at verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you." Now he repeats himself there, doesn't he? Stand firm, let nothing move you. Stay still, don't move. Be like those people, those statues, incredible, aren't they? Around Covent Garden, who can just stay still in one pose. And it's incredible how long they can be like that. If you want to fool people on Zoom, then just suddenly stand still, go completely still, and people will think that your screen has frozen. It's a great trick to play. Paul is saying, don't move. Now, he's not saying physically don't move. He's saying don't move in another way. Now, what's he saying not to move from? Well, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you'll see. Verse 2, he says, "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you." He's saying, hold on to what I've preached to you. Hold on to the truth. He says, don't move from it. Don't be shifted from it. Now, how might we be tempted to shift from the truth? Well, there are various ways. You could drift off. If you just stop reading your Bible, stop praying, stop coming to church, stop going to home group, meeting up with people to read the Bible. If you stop doing all those things, you'll drift away from the truth. But another way maybe is if there's pressure from others to give up on the truth. If people say, oh, you don't believe what the Bible teaches, do you? Christians, what they believe about sexuality, it's so repressive, it's so old-fashioned, you can't believe what it teaches. Well, maybe you'll be tempted to give in. But another way is if we get the scent of something else and start going after that. Bloodhounds, I gather, are those kind of dogs. If they get a scent of something that they want, they will go after it and nothing will stop them. They could, if they're not on a lead, and I gather if you've got one as a pet, you've got to keep it on a lead, because if it goes off after something it wants, it will run out into traffic, it will get into all kinds of danger because it's got to get after that scent. And that's kind of what was happening with the Corinthians. You see, if we're going to understand this, we've got to know what was going on in Corinth. How were they moving away? Well, they were pursuing spiritual experience, Christian spiritual experience. In their meetings, it was full of the spectacular. That's what they were going after, spectacular gifts. And that's what they really wanted. But it was that at the expense of teaching. It's like they got that scent. And that was the only thing that they were going after. Spiritual experience. You've got to have it. And let's forget about the other things. Forget about Bible teaching and that kind of stuff. This is what we want. Now, Paul doesn't say spiritual experience is bad. It's a really good thing. He's not saying forget about the spectacular gifts. Actually, he says, no, they're good. But you've got to have teaching as being the most important thing as you gather together. You've got to be edifying one another. That's what you've got to be doing. Because if you don't, you'll drift away from the truth. Now, anything for us, which in our own thinking, or for us as a church, that might become more important than teaching the truth, is something we've got to be careful of. It might be a really good thing that we should be doing, but we've got to be careful it doesn't drown out or push out Bible teaching. So it might be looking after the poor, really good thing that we should all be involved in, but we must make sure it doesn't block out Bible teaching. Or spiritual experience, really good thing, but it mustn't be the thing that drowns out Bible teaching. Or it could be ritual or ceremony, or it could be a whole load of things for you. They're not necessarily bad things, but if you get the scent of them and you're saying, that's the thing I've got to have above everything else and forget about Bible teaching, then you're in danger. And we've got to be careful, haven't we, that we don't pursue those things at the expense of Bible teaching. Paul's saying, don't move. He says, stick with the truth. And then second, he says, don't shift from gospel work. Have a look at verse 58 again. He says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Now, notice there, would you, the words always and fully. This is a call to wholehearted, constant gospel work. And the Corinthians needed to hear that because they were devoting themselves to, well, to their spiritual experiences and to infighting as well, because there were lots of divisions in the church in Corinth. And Paul is saying, no, be devoted to the work of the Lord. Get out there. Get on with this work. And it is a call, like I say, to wholehearted work. There have been plenty in church history who've demonstrated this wholehearted commitment to the Lord. And we need to hear their challenge to do it ourselves. We heard a few weeks back about Adoniram Judson. And this week, I thought I'd give you another one. Again, it's from John Piper's books where he does short biographies. This one is of Hudson Taylor, who went out to China. Now, when Hudson Taylor committed himself to serve the Lord, this is how he describes what happened. He was on a beach near Brighton, and it says this. On Sunday, the 25th of June, 1865, unable to bear the sight of a congregation of 1,000 or more Christian people rejoicing in their own security. In other words, he couldn't stand being in church. Now, that's not because he didn't like the church gathering, but there was something growing inside him. He says he couldn't bear hearing those Christians, being with those Christians, while millions were perishing for lack of knowledge. I wandered out on the sands alone in great spiritual agony, and there the Lord conquered my unbelief, and I surrendered myself to God for his service. I told him that all the responsibility as to issues and consequences must rest with him, that as his servant it was mine to obey and to follow him, his to direct, to care for and to guide me and those who might labour with me. And so we went out to China. Now, I wonder how you react to that, whether you think, well, that's all very well for Hudson Taylor. He gave up everything and went and did that. Have I got to do that? Have I got to give up everything, give up my job, give up security and go to China? Well, no, we don't all have to go to China. But actually, what Paul's saying here to them is, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And that must mean everyone, not just those who are going to China, not just those who lead churches. This must be a call to everyone within the church. And Paul has earlier said in the letter, that's why God's given everyone who's a Christian spiritual gifts to build up the church. So he's saying, actually, we've all got to be involved in this. And if this means all of us fully, that's got to change the way we think about the whole of our lives. Because Paul isn't just saying, add in Christian work into everything else you're doing. Because for lots of us, we're thinking, well, my life is pretty full already. I'm not sure I can add in more things that I would call the work of the Lord. No, he's saying, rethink all of your life and do your work as working for the Lord. Do your family time for the Lord. As you relate to people in your street, do it for the Lord. It can all be part of the work of the Lord. Yes, it may mean adding in extra things as well. It could do. But actually, for lots of us, it's rethinking what we're doing to do it for Jesus. So he says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And then the third command. And the third command is not to shift from gospel hope. Back to the verse 58, he says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Do you? Do you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain? Because it can be hard work, can't it? Keeping going, doing gospel work, doing the work of the Lord, and it can feel at times like you're not really getting anywhere. It feels like you keep going, trying to tell someone about Jesus, but actually they're not responding. And they just seem to get harder to it. And it can be just discouraging. At the beginning of lockdown, we started doing some of the PE with Joe. Joe Wicks is doing some PE lessons online, and you could do them half an hour a day. Each morning you could do them. And after the start of lockdown, I realised I wasn't getting much exercise, so I thought I'd do some of that. And so I started doing them. And I would do the exercises, and afterwards I would feel pretty exhausted. And the next day I felt incredibly sore, really sore legs. And so you battle through it again, day two. You think, right, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to get fit. So you go through all the exercises, you do them, and you feel even more sore the next day. And so you battle through them again, and you feel even worse. And you can start to think to yourself, why am I doing this? This is getting me absolutely nowhere. In fact, I'm just feeling worse. But of course, you've got to persevere, haven't you? You've got to keep going with exercise for it to give you some benefit. Gospel ministry, doing the work of the Lord, can sometimes feel hard work and feel like you're not getting very far. But actually, Paul is saying, you know, your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Because we're in the now, but we're not in the not yet. And we look forward to that day. And Paul has already said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that what you're building with will be tested by fire. And if you've built with precious stones and gold and silver and that kind of thing, in other words, if you've been faithful and you've been faithful to the truth, if you've held on to the gospel and you've used that to build with, then what you've built will last for eternity. And so keep going. Gospel work is not in vain. We need to keep at it. And so we live now, in the now, before the not yet. But we look forward to the day, don't we, when Jesus' kingdom will come, when we'll see that that work in the Lord has not been in vain. And we keep that in our sights. We've got to keep that day in our sights so that now we will keep going, so that now we won't be shifted from the truth, and we won't be shifted from gospel work, and we won't be shifted from a gospel hope. Well, like I say, I hope you found 1 Corinthians 15 really helpful, and that maybe over this coming week you'll go back over the chapter and remember those truths that we've been learning together, and that you'll focus in on verse 58 and those commands that Paul gives. We're going to finish our service with a prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to live in the now, anticipating the not yet, anticipating Jesus' return and glorious resurrection bodies. Help us now, Father, not to shift from gospel truth, not to shift from gospel work, and not to shift from gospel hope. Amen.